Hello and welcome to First Presbyterian Church. Today we have a few announcements. A reminder to you all that Gail Davis's Turkish visitors will exhibit their art today at the museum from 2:30 to 4:30. And cinnamon rolls are in the Douglas and Roberts room for your enjoyment following the worship service.
Thank you.
in the responsive call to worship. So then, putting away falsehood, let all of us speak the truth to our neighbors.
Let no evil talk come from our mouths, but only what is useful for building up.
Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with which you were marked with the seal.
Let us be kind to one another, tender-hearted, and forgiving one another.
Let us worship God. Our hymn of praise today is number 417, Christ Has Made the Sure Foundation. And assurance of pardon. Therefore, since we are members of one another, put away falsehood and speak the truth.
Forgive us, O God, for we deceive one another.
Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger.
Forgive us, O God, since we are prone to hold grudges.
Do not steal, but work honestly. Make yourselves able to give to those in need.
Forgive us, O God, for we squander your mercy and take no delight in sharing your riches.
Let no evil talk come out of your mouths, only talk that builds up your neighbor.
Forgive us, O God, for we slander one another without being conscious of the destruction of us.
Know that Christ loved us and gave himself for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God.
If we are sorry, truly repent of our sins, in Jesus Christ we are forgiven.
works this week. First of all, I want to thank Jackson Weller for making sure that the microphone would work this week. This week we have no microphone drama. That's good. Okay, last week, some of you were here, some of you weren't. We've had vacations and everything. Does anybody remember what we talked about last week? That God is always with us in our lives. Remember that? Okay, last week we talked about that. We said God is always with us in our lives, and He has been since we were born, and He will be with us as long as we live, and He will be with us after we no longer live. God is always with us. One of the things that grown-ups love to study and talk about, and they say sometimes in grown-up language, what is the nature of God? What is the nature of God? And I think in everyday language, more plain speak, we might say, what is God like? Do you ever wonder that? I do. I have for a long time. And one of the things that I do know and that I wanted to share with you today is that God, the God that we worship, we say is a triune God. Does anybody know what that means? What are the three parts of God? Okay, this is a lesson that you need to really hear. We say God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We talk about this a lot. God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And what I would recommend that you do, since you guys are really growing up and going, getting ready to start back to school and everything, and sometime if you're sitting at home and you've put away your telephones and your Nintendos and your different types of electronic media, talk to your parents about what is God like. God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And don't expect an answer in 5 minutes, because some people spend their entire lives studying this and writing learned articles about it and preaching about it. They spend their whole lives thinking about what is God really like. So think about that. I really want you to think about it. And it won't be very often that I will get to be with you two times in a row like this, so I can review last week's lesson, and that is that God is always with us. And that this week's lesson is, what is God really like? What is this God that we know? And we actually carry His name. We say that we are Christians. We are followers of Jesus Christ. So it's an important question. Ask your parents. Put them on the spot. Okay? And let's find out, what is God really like? God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the opportunity to be here in this time and place as a group of believers, people who believe in Your Son, Jesus Christ, who believe in God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We would encourage these young people to do well in school this year, to have a wonderful school year, to learn, to fill their brains with knowledge here at church and at school. We make this prayer, Lord, in all of our prayers in Your Son's name. Amen.
Wait a minute, fellas. We've got one more thing we want to do today.
Can we get all of them back?
Did everybody have a good first week of school? Our first couple days? Good. You like your teachers? Pretty good so far. See some hips there. Yeah. A little hippie. You guys can hear me, but I don't think that.
There. All right. Now, it's first week of school for you guys, and it's also the beginning of our Sunday school year. And so we do something here that I think is really cool. Did you know that you guys might be the only people that your classmates at school meet that might know Jesus? Did you know that? They might know him from their own churches, but a lot of times people don't go to church and they don't know who Jesus is. And so one of the neat things that you guys do in other places, they'll bless backpacks. And as Jackson pointed out to me, I don't think there's a single backpack in the world that can talk about Jesus. Did you know that? There's not a single, backpacks don't talk. At least I hope they don't talk. If they're talking, that's a whole other matter. But you guys can. You guys can show by what you do and what you say the love of God. And so, also, I want to ask you guys to stand up, and we're going to do what's called commissioning. We're going to send you out as disciples for Christ in your schools and wherever else you go. But so why don't everybody stand up where you are, right there. I think you guys look like you have healthy legs. Can everybody stand up? There you go. Good job. Okay. Now we're going to have some other people stand with you, because not only are you guys going to be able to witness and share God's love and show God's love, but all our teachers can. So with all our teachers here today, whether they're in Sunday school teaching or whether they are in the public schools teaching, if all of you all would stand up, and all our school personnel, because they're critical to the success of showing God's love and sharing God's love too. And we're going to ask you guys some questions and say a prayer over you and send you out to show God's love and share God's love wherever you go this week. Can you do that? Okay, great. But the first question, I've got to read something here first. Some parts of the Bible tell us that there is no longer Jew or Greek, there is no longer slave or free, there is no longer male or female, for you are all one in Christ. And then in another part of the Bible it says, lead a life worthy of calling to which you have been called. Make every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So not only do you have to share God's love and show God's love, you need to be peaceful too. So hopefully you can do that. And you get everything. God has given you everything you need to do that. Everything, because God is with us at all times. So not only is God with us here, but he is with us at school, and he's with us at home. And so I wanted to pray with you all, and with all of our educational personnel. Let's bow our heads. Faithful God, in baptism you claimed us, and by the Holy Spirit you are working in our lives, empowering us to live a life worthy of our calling. We thank you for leading each of these students, each of these educational folks, teachers, and personnel, and establish them in your truth. Guide them by your Holy Spirit, that in your service they may grow in faith, hope, and love, and be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory now and forever. And Lord, we ask that you would be with each of these students, each of these educational folks, our teachers. Help them to know you love them. Help them to know that your loving arms are around them. And help them to show others that love wherever they go. For they may be the only people that a stranger or a fellow student meets in a day that will tell them of the love of God, or show them the love of God. So help us be that presence wherever we go this day and always. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, now you guys can go and everybody else can sit down, and thank you all for your service as missionaries for Christ in our public schools and, well, in all of our school systems.
Please join with me in the unison prayer for illumination. Gracious God, give us humble, teachable, and obedient hearts, that we may receive what you have revealed and do what you have commanded. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Today's scripture lesson is Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25 through chapter 5, verse 22. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor. For we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work doing something useful with their own hands, that they may give something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. This is the word of the Lord.
Peace be with you, ministering angels, angels of the Most High. From the Supreme King of Kings, the Holy One, blessed be he.
Thank you to Suzanne for a beautiful, beautifully done piece and for the thoughts that are contained in those wonderful words. Our gospel lesson for this morning comes once again from the Gospel of John, kind of picking up where we left off last week.
in the sixth chapter on verse 35, and then we'll skip over to verse 41. We're talking about Jesus as the bread of life. And Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." And skipping over to verse 41, where it says, "Then the Jews began to complain about him because he said, 'I am the bread that came down from heaven.' They were saying, 'Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, 'I have come down from heaven?'" Jesus answered them, "Do not complain amongst yourselves. No one can come to me unless drawn by the Father who sent me, and I will raise that person up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'And they shall all be taught by God.' Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Wonderful job by Maggie this morning in reading our passage from Ephesians. And we're looking at this particular passage in Ephesians, and really the entire letter as we're kind of walking our way through that letter, as an instruction to a world that is divided, as instruction to how we are to live as Christ's disciples in a world that doesn't always want to hear that. And we need to at least focus this morning on kind of our speech and what Maggie read about talking about speaking the truth in love, speaking with kindness and tenderness and love. Wonderful words, but hard to live by sometimes. And yet, sometimes, you know, we fail to recognize the power of simple words, our language, the words we use. There was a public speaker once who began his address by commanding his art, and I thought about doing this with you all this morning, but then I thought, well, there's some that are maybe a little mobility impaired. But what he did was he told them, got up in front, he said, "Stand up." And then he told them, "Turn around, face the back of the church." And he said, once they did that, he said, "Now turn around and face me." And they did that. And then he said, "And now sit down." And they did that. The point he was trying to make, he explained, was that words have power. Simple words. Stand up, turn around, face me. Sounds like a game of Simon Says, doesn't it? But it can make things happen. They can be bullets that penetrate hearts, wounding one for whom they intended. Or words can bring joy and celebration and healing. Consider the difference between two statements, both three words. One is, "I love you," and the other is, "I hate you." One word is different, but words can wound or they can heal. This lesson is particularly poignant for our day and time. We spend a great deal of time thinking about and talking about diets. Well, maybe not this morning after we've had a wonderful breakfast. But we think about, we're preoccupied with what we eat and how we eat and when we eat. And we're concerned about what goes into our mouths, and yet we should be more concerned, more interested in what comes out of our mouth. Jesus said in the Gospel of Matthew, it is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but what comes out of the mouth that defiles. As we begin a new school year, we need to think about what will come out of our mouth. Whether that is directed towards our students or our teachers or our friends or our family, our brothers and sisters in Christ, our brothers and sisters that are related by blood, especially those of us that have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Just before our passage for today in Ephesians, the author is telling the believers that they are no longer to live as they once lived before they accepted Christ. No longer are they to have an excuse of not knowing how to live or what to say. No longer are they to live hard-hearted and licentious and greedy lives. That is not what they learned in Christ. The truth is in Jesus, not the corrupted, deluded, lustful lives that we sometimes lead. They are to clothe themselves with a new self according to the likeness of God. What we teach in school or in church or in home matters. The examples we set for our friends and family, our neighbors, all of that matters. You can't rely on society as a whole to set Christ-like examples. There used to be, I'm going to sound 150 years old here, but there used to be socially acceptable ways to speak to one another. But rarely that happens anymore. You used to be able to disagree with somebody and yet treat them with respect. You used to speak to your teachers and to your students with some matter of respect, even when their behavior was less than stellar, because you knew that you would be around them for at least a year, if not longer. You tried to get along with your colleagues in school or in Congress or in the White House, because there would come a time when you would have to work with them in some way to get something accomplished. And at all levels of society, that is no longer the case. Frankly, I must say that it begins, though, with the example that we set in our homes. And think about how many positive speakings there have been in our homes between husbands and wives, between parents and children. How often have we offered compliments? How often have we offered criticisms? We hear, do not let unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Wonderful words. Mother Teresa said one time, let no one come to you without going away better and happier. Each of us has that power to use words, to use language that provides a means of grace to those who hear them. We have the ability to inspire others. A young girl was asked why she had broken up with her old boyfriend and taken up with a new one. And she answered, well, when I was with Robert, he impressed me with how great he was. But when I was with Jonathan, he made me feel great about myself. A subtle difference, yet one that is crucial in how we interact with other people. Jesus said, Don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and out of the body? But the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart, and these make a person unclean. What comes out of our mouths reveals what is in our hearts. Do we tend to brood on personal hurts? Do we dwell on insults? Are we filled with bitterness and contempt and anger? If these emotions are devouring our minds, we must prayerfully seek a cleansing of the heart so that we can refill ourselves with all those wonderful things Maggie read about this morning: love and compassion, kindness, tenderness, forgiveness. It's always helpful as we commission our folks in education this week to remember how immensely important it is to pray for that person. Even the ones that we're most disgusted with, even for the ones who hurt us the most. For praying for individuals often softens the contempt and the bitterness in our hearts. And that is especially true as we commission our students and our teachers and our other school personnel this day, because Lord knows, to be a missionary for Christ in our schools today, you don't necessarily need to know the Bible from cover to cover, but you do need to remember patience and love and what comes out of your mouth. I recently wondered for myself, if someone followed me around all day with a tape recorder, how would I sound? If it was played back at the end of the day, what would my tone of voice reveal about where I was emotionally? What kind of words and language did I use? And it might be scary some of those days. What would the tape recording reveal about your character? Isn't it a challenge to keep our communications at home and at work and at school on a higher plane? It can so easily degenerate into evil speaking or complaining or whining. Remember, it is not what goes into your mouth that defiles you, but what comes out of your mouth. Our vocabulary, I heard this, I thought this was a wonderful saying. Our vocabulary is an indication of our intellect. Our words provide a window into our character, and our grammar reveals the degree of our refinement. Our speech, though, is a reflection of the Spirit. We must always be careful how we speak to one another, in home, in public service, in advertisements. There's an interesting nationwide advertisement a while back for the prevention of child abuse that reminded us of this fact. And the words that they use at the beginning of the commercial were, "Words hit as hard as fists." And it listed words that some parents say to their children: "You disgust me. You just shut up. You're pathetic. You can't do anything right. You're really stupid. Don't you know how to listen? Get up and get out of here. I'm sick of looking you in your face." And accompanying those words that some parents make to their children was a picture of a little girl with her eyes filled with tears and the caption, "Children believe what their parents tell them." When a parent tells a child that he is stupid, he believes it. And that belief may be carried for a long time. When a young lady is told that she is disgusting, she develops a self-identity that she will carry for a long time. We must be careful how we speak to one another in the home and at school and at church. The Bible instructs us, be careful how you live and to live as wise people. That certainly applies with what comes out of our mouths. Among the things that I ask couples to do when they come to be married and for their counseling is to write down three compliments that they each have received from each other during the past few days. And if they can't remember anything positive that their partner has said, even that early in their relationship, it's not a good sign of building for the rest of their lives. It reminds me about a story of a guy who is sprawled out in front of the television, and he's watching the football game, and there's popcorn scattered around, and empty cans are all around, and his wife is standing in front of the television with her hands on her hips, saying, "I want to know right now, do you love me more than you love football?" And there is a long silence. And then finally he replies, "I love you more than hockey." Each of us needs to hear reassuring words of love and comfort from time to time. Such language is healing. It builds bridges of understanding and loyalty. It engenders an environment of gentleness and patience, as it says in Ephesians. If we are critical, we will get criticism in return. If we are complimentary, we will receive compliments. Ask yourself, does your spouse or do your children have a reason to look forward to you returning home from work? Does your spouse feel better about him or herself because of your presence? I like the anonymous writing that I read one time on a greeting card. You find lots of wonderful things on greeting cards, and I'm not sure whether this was on the two for a dollar pile or the dollar pile or the ones that cost $8 now. But it was a wonderful reminder of the love we are to share. It said, "I love you not only for what you are, but for what I am when I am with you. I love you not only for what you have made of yourself, but what you are making of me. I love you for putting your hand into my heaped up heart, passing over all the foolish, weak things that you can't help dimly seeing there, and drawing out into the light all the beautiful things that no one else had looked quite far enough to find. I love you because you are helping me to make of the lumber of my life not a tavern, but a temple. Out of the works of my everyday, not a reproach, but a song." As we start the new school year, and as we are sent into the world of school or work or life in general, let us put away falsehoods and speak the truth to our neighbors, for we are members of one another. Sure, we will get angry. We would not be humans if we did not get angry. But that does not excuse us to become fixated on our anger and hold on to what we can't live without. It is that fixation that makes room for the devil. It is that fixation on anger that leads us to thieving instead of helping others. It is the fixation that causes all the evil thoughts and words to come out of our mouths. It is the fixation on anger that rots our souls and destroys our humanity. Instead, let us put away from us all bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander and malice. That has never gotten us anywhere. Why not try to be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving, just as Christ has forgiven us? It is not easy. People will look at you like you are crazy or naive or gullible at times. Christ never promises us that loving others will be easy, and it certainly wasn't easy for him. But without your imitating Christ, someone may never know that they are a beloved child of God. And we do not want them to miss that opportunity to hear the good news this day and always. Amen. Let us stand and sing our next hymn, hymn number 321, Holy Spirit, Truth Divine. Let us remain standing as we affirm our faith using the Apostles' Creed, which can be found in your aids to worship. Let us affirm together, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. Will the ushers please come forward for the morning offering? Thank you. Let us pray. Eternal God, who gave us Jesus Christ, the bread of life, we respond to your goodness by offering ourselves as dough to be made alive by the leaven of the gospel. Knead us and mold us to fit your will for us. Flavor us with the richness of Christ's teaching. Shape us by his sacrifice and sacrificial love on our behalf. Infuse us with your spirit and send us forth to be the bread of the world for this world. In your name, we pray this. Amen. Please be seated. We did have one prayer concern that was lifted up to me before the service today. That is for Amy Bracey, who has a brain tumor, and so we want to keep her in our prayers. Do we have any other additional joys or concerns that need to be lifted up today? Okay, if not, let us turn our hearts and minds to God in prayer. Oh God, we give you thanks for this household of faith. Your authority establishes it. Your promise gives it assurance of your abiding presence. Your messenger, Jesus Christ, calls us to live as its members. Your spirit pervades and enlivens it. We give thanks for those who have lived before us as heirs of your goodness, who have passed the faith on down through the generations. They have passed on their vision to us. And from them we receive examples of faithfulness and respond to Christ's teachings. Through them we are aware of your comfort during times of trial and temptation. Because of them, we may face boldly the times that await us. Led by their insight and upheld by their courage, as Christ calls us and names us, we seek to follow their example of loyalty and devotion. Look with favor upon us as we offer our prayers. Make us more conscious of those who yearn to hear your word, who seek direction for otherwise aimless lives. Let us be for them the clear call to commitment, a source of hope and meaning in the midst of change and dislocation. Lead us together to a new respect for the mysteries of faith that defy easy comprehension and marginal discipline. Guide us on our probing to be confronted with that sense of your grandeur in our own limited and temporal existence. Help us to follow in the footsteps of the saints who dwell eternally at your throne, and may the course they charted direct our pilgrimage, and the lessons they learned remain a heritage that we can pass on to those who come after us. We ask that you would be with each of those who has special needs this day. We ask your prayer, or your presence for Amy and for Claudine, for Nelson and Clark, our Charles and Lib. Hear our prayers for Diane, for Caroline, for Martha Jo, for Beth, for Ellen, and for Friel. Hear our prayers for Ella, for Mary Ann, as she recovers, for Jim. We give you thanks, he is doing well. We ask that you would be with Tom and with all those who continued to improve. We give you thanks for Helen and for Jay and Caden and Mac and Nulty. Help them to feel your love. Help them to feel your comfort. For those who mourn, we ask your presence with them and reassurance to them. For those who need guidance, especially our educational professionals and our students this day, we ask that you would be with them and walk with them wherever they go and whoever's lives they touch, that they may be a blessing to others. And hear us as we join together, praying the prayer that your Son taught us when he said, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us stand and sing our final hymn, number 393, Take Up Thy Cross.